This is iRock with Rockstars, hosted by Ryan from iRock 93.5.
Well, hi, everybody. We're really excited to hang out with you and answer your questions and
not to put you on the spot,
but ask us some good stuff. Like the same stuff we always get. So I am putting you on the spot. Ask us something good.
See, you're all on the
pressure
spot.
Pressure is on.
Yes. All right, well, let's first start with the same old, same old. How are you guys doing?
We are so excited to be in Iowa because we haven't been here in forever.
It's been before since I've been here.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I know. Well, we took the longest break during COVID. We were one of those bands that did not bounce back right away after COVID. It took us some time. So I feel like we're still like getting our sea legs back, like with touring the US. And for the first time since COVID, we're finally going back to the UK.
Yeah.
In a month. Very excited about that. And Europe and Germany. And we're so stoked. We're just happy to be back seeing places that we've grown to love over the years.
Back and back on the road, obviously. The road is a huge part of what rock bands do in general.
Yeah.
Back and back in the studio, anything that we can be expecting
soon? Yes. You can expect a cover song soon. We're working on a cover song. How'd you know? Surprise, that was your sneak preview of our new cover song. And we are going to start going back into the studio next month. So that's my favorite.
Yes, it's our favorite too.
Yeah. I'm really excited because we as a band, and I'm sure you would agree with this, this is like the tightest and most like connected we've ever been. It's like when you're in a band, it's like having five boyfriends or like five girlfriends. And it's a lot. There's a lot of dynamic. And imagine how hard it is to navigate one relationship, let alone like 5 to 6. So we're at a place in our relationship where like we're so tight and connected and supportive. And like we understand each other. Communication's great. We're like, woo, we're there. We're in the honeymoon phase again. Yeah.
How do you navigate that on the bus with it being tight quarters and... Let's be honest, you know, you got a bunch of smelly dudes on the bus and then
smelly. It's so true.
I know. We understand this, but...
But I am the smelliest of them all, okay. I'm sure they would say.
I mean, how do you navigate
It's true.
How do you navigate the bus in general and being on tour as a group and having that honeymoon phase to still be tight but also maintain your space?
Well, one, we don't tolerate negativity. If someone's negative, they get a beating outside the bus. We drag them behind the bus for like a couple blocks.
So. Ash got Lucille from Walking Dead, so she brings that on tour.
Beat everyone up. No, we communication. It's all same as every relationship. We communicate with each other and we don't take anything personally. Like we allow each other to have snappy moments and bad moments without like taking it personally. Like everyone jokes that we bicker like
our brother and sister,
which we do for sure. But like no one ever takes it personal.
Get mad for an hour. And then after that, you're like, do you want to go get a drink?
Do you want to go get some McDonald's?
Or do you want to go to a haunted house?
Oh, yeah. We just last night did Factory of Fear.
Oh, you guys all been there? Way rad.
Have you been there this year? Yeah. Okay. So there's like no Ubers here at that time of night. So we ended up drinking at this tiny bar across the street called The Hideout. Is that it? How the frick did I remember that?
That was good. I didn't remember that one.
Wow. So we hung out there. They're super nice. Our photographer who's on tour with us won a jackpot on the thingy thing.
Oh. Yeah, 80 bucks.
Yeah, he won 80 bucks. Didn't even pay for our drinks. And then, so we had to drag him behind the bus. And then, but the haunted house was awesome.
It was really cool. One of the best, like, well-done haunted houses I think I've ever been to.
Yeah. We did the $10 upgrade, so we didn't have to wait in any lines. We just beep, boop, went right in there and had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some... It got me a couple times, and I'm super desensitized to horror and haunted houses, and I screamed at least 3 or 4 times. Yeah, it was great. Hey,
good recommendation right there. All right, be thinking of your super tough questions here. Yeah. I'm going to ask a non-tough question. So all these people won their way to come and hang with you.
Awesome. Nice. Lucky you. Give me some of that luck.
There was some that were not so lucky, but they still sent in questions. Oh. One of them here, pretty simple one, but Cornbread in Bluegrass said, what are your biggest influences?
Musically, as a vocalist, I grew up idolizing Gwen Stefani. I don't know if there's any No Doubt fans in here, but if you listen to the way my voice is, especially my vibrato and tone, is very Gwen Stefani, because I started singing along to Tragic Kingdom when I was like 8. So that's just kind of what shaped my voice. And then the screaming, I was an emo kid in the 2000s, not to date myself or anything, but I loved The Used and My Chemical Romance and Taking Back Sunday and Refused. And so I learned to scream from singing and screaming along to those bands.
Yeah, some of mine, just being a guitar player and not much of a shreddy person, you wanted something that would, like, I don't know, give them a chance to remember who you were. So I always liked The Big Showman. So like Kiss, Elvis Presley, David Bowie, especially with Ziggy Stardust.
Addicts. Yeah. I feel like a big one for you is Johnny Thunder.
Johnny Thunders.
New York Dolls.
Yeah, Manson.
Manson. Oh, John 5. Manson. Like, guitar players that really put on a show visually and are very animated were his. So, like, you guys are all coming to the show tonight? Yeah. Just, you'll see.
And, of course, Pantera.
Yeah.
When you hear Domination, you know it's time.
We play Domination before every show because that's what hypes us up backstage, and that's how we gauge the crowd. When it gets to the breakdown, we'll peek out, and if the crowd is headbanging to Pantera, we're like, it's gonna be a good show.
It's on.
And John 5's Instagram reels with his Hello Kitty guitar.
His onesies during COVID, different footsie pajamas. I just recently got off tour with John 5, and he is such a down-to-earth, lovely human being, very caring, goes out of his way to check on people who he even barely knows.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great guy.
So I love that you said Gwen Stefani is one of your influences, because your cover of Don't Speak is...
Thank you.
And I'm going to piggyback off of your... I'm going to Factory of Fear, because I'm a huge horror fan myself. So
yeah, me too.
I have to ask you, what's your favorite horror movie?
My favorite horror movie of all time, and I don't base this on if it's good. I base it on, can I watch it repeatedly forever if it's the only one I have? House of 1,000 Corpses is my favorite, with The It, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 being close second, and then The Shining being third.
Great. Stephen King. Anything Stephen King.
Honestly. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to go House of 1,000 Corpses. I remember first time seeing that in the theater.
We just saw it in theaters last year. Yeah. They put it back in. 10-year anniversary.
Right after the first scene, it's like, most of all, fuck you.
Oh my, the part that got me when he goes, God damn, motherfucker, got blood on my best clown suit. I was like, I'm in.
I remember I gave it a standing ovation. Yeah. I was like, yes, we're
in. And but I saw, he hasn't seen it yet. I saw Terrifier 3. Has everyone seen Terrifier 3?
I haven't.
Yet. Really? You haven't?
I just watched the Ice
Man. Have you seen
video.
The second?
Yes.
Second one.
Yes.
So the second one didn't get me, because I fell in love with Art as a character, but the gore, I was like, that's it. I was like, that's what everyone's talking about. But then I saw the third one. I was actually going like, oh my God, I can't look at it. Like, it got me paint a picture.
I was, like I said, I watched the Ice Nine video for a
week. Oh, they went there. We were invited to be in it, but we were on tour. Oh, boo. Man. We were invited to everything that we can never do, like the premiere. But we did both get to be in the Ice Nine Kills music video for Rainy Day.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
We did happen to be home for that. Well, no one knows Nicky's in it because he's full zombie.
Yeah. I'm one of the ones with just
he's got a head bandage with his little hair poking out.
The best part was when they broke for lunch or dinner and just full makeup, just eating macaroni salad.
Yeah. Best part was how I didn't really know what I was going to do, because Spencer is like that. He has a lot going on. So he's like me, just come and we'll figure it out later. Like that kind of. And he goes, are you in town? I said, yeah, why, what's up? And he goes, can you be a zombie in the background? I was like, you know what? Heck it. And I was like, can Nikki come? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right, zombies in the background. Thinking this will just be a friendly favor, not really anything too involved. And then he goes, and I swear, he says he didn't say this. Yes, he did. He said, you're going to be, it's like a city scene. You're going to be a zombie like hooker. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why I'm in a skirt and a shirt, and I'm wearing no shoes in the video because I showed up in freaking heels. So I get there and he goes, okay, here's your stunt coordinator, and he's going to teach you some fight moves. And I was like, wait, hold up. What? What do you mean?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're going to be chasing Nadia down. I was like, I'm in heels, Spencer. You see what I'm wearing? What the hell? And it turned into a 12-hour stunt choreographed shoot. We were there until like 3 in the morning. I was like, God damn you.
Well, it looked great.
Thank you. I did not know what I was doing.
Came out awesome.
I was painfully sober and did not know what I was doing. So
So I do have a serious question.
Yeah.
You said you took some time during COVID to not be touring and you're getting back into touring. But
yeah.
You guys are no strangers to touring. I mean, you've been touring. You've been doing stuff for years and years
Long time.
You guys were on Warped Tour when Warped Tour was actually Warped Tour.
Yes. Yeah, we did. We've done Warped Tour 8 times in the span of 10 years.
Yes.
And the longest female fronted band on it.
Absolutely. And I love that for you. I love that for females in general.
Thank you.
And, you know, there's Sick New World. There's talks of Warped Tour coming back. Yeah. What are you seeing now? And because I, like I said, that I saw you guys at Point Fest, you know, that's another festival that's big in St. Louis.
Yeah.
What are you seeing now with different festivals and the way things are doing post COVID that maybe you didn't see when you were originally doing Warped Tours and festivals back in the day?
It's going the direction I always hoped it would go. As much as I love Warped Tour on the band side of things, it was incredibly hard. And although there were other tours like Mayhem Fest or things like that, there really wasn't very many like weekend festivals at the time. It wasn't a trendy thing back then. And so after COVID, I really saw the rise in popularity of the 3 to 4 weekend festival. And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Because I feel like you get a lot more bang for your buck. Yeah, so as a festival goer and as a performer, so I'm just happy it went that way because those 3 month tours following the heat wave around the U.S. was not it. It was not it.
I'm complete opposite. I miss being on the road for 3 months.
Yep.
Yeah. Do it. Bring on the work.
Hair I'm extensions ready. Coming out, nails popping off, my heels, my shoes coming off. Dude, yeah. I would do Warped Tour and lose like 20 pounds every year just because of the sheer amount of work and walking and sweat and hardly any time to get proper nutrition.
Like, but the catering was nice.
It was all right.
I love me like festival
this
catering.
This man is obsessed with food. Obsessed. As soon as we get to a festival, he's like, where's catering? When is catering? Is it open yet? Is it catering time? He has a time to eat? Oh, guys, catering's so good. Gotta get over here. This man.
Steak medallions?
Good to know. When we bring you back, we'll make sure that we have a spread for you.
Oh man!
See how excited we got for these. Right. My gosh! Hi.
Hey. You mentioned Pantera as one of your influences.
Yes, sir.
What do you think of the reunion they did last year?
It's awesome.
I like it. I mean, obviously, it's like most bands that are like reuniting. You know, you're never gonna get that original flame, especially with half the members not being there. You know, rest in peace. But
however.
It is cool. I'm always hoping that every time we get announced for a festival, we're on that day just so I could watch them say we played with them.
But, we were once.
That's rad.
We were once.
Not with Pantera.
Oh, with Phil.
Yeah, we did Phil and the Illegals. Yeah.
That's right. My bad.
Which was still cool. It was like when we saw Danzig before he came out.
However, get to perform fucking Hostile in front of Vinny in Vegas. It was a festival called Los Rages. And he was so stoked on it. He high-fived us after we walked off stage and we got the Vinnie Paul seal of approval, which was really nerve-wracking covering someone's song like right in front of them. So that could have gone poorly, but it went great. He was very nice to us, by the way. When we toured with Hell Yeah, he would always invite us onto the bus and give us shots and food.
Oh, and we had that delicious barbecue too that he
does. He's a very good cook.
You are not the first person to say that about barbecue with those guys.
Yeah.
Who were we talking to?
He would have like 8 different kinds of guacamole.
Yeah, he loved his
handmade.
Barbecue, and I was about it.
Oh, it was Shinedown, the drummer from Shinedown.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Yeah, because they have some hot sauce out. And we were talking about him being a cook and the hot sauce and all that kind of stuff and everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, back when we were openers, we'd come back afterwards and we'd do this. And he'd talk about that with the barbecue and everything.
He made these jalapeno poppers that had peanut butter and jelly inside. It was really good. Good question. Thank you. We love talking about our favorite bands.
Well, now I'm going to kind of make you talk about yourself and favorite bands. As the radio guy here who sees so much music and hears so much music come in and everything like that, I am seeing Dorothy and Hailstorm and Conquer Divide. And you can throw Linkin Park in there now.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's in this moment, there's so many. Is this a golden age for rock female fronted bands?
I've been saying that for so long. I feel like we still have a long way to go. I do. I mean, I'm very happy to see that radio stations compared to 10 years ago, I feel like are really embracing female. I mean, when it came to promoters for tours, even Warped Tour, even Warped Tour and radio stations, we'd always get like, we already have two girls in rotation. Like, we kind of don't, we can't really fit more. Or we already have one girl on the bill. You know, we've already filled that quota. And I feel like at least that mentality is gone. But as far as how many women are actually picking up the mic and doing it or picking up the guitar, I feel like we still have a long way to go. There still needs to be so much more.
Well, you're doing a great job at it.
Well, thank you.
Hi. If you weren't a performer, what would you be doing instead?
Something with haunted houses. Maybe like building. Because that's what I was doing before New Year's Day started touring heavily. I was fabricating and doing set design and prop, like mostly painting for haunted houses.
I don't know what I'd do. This is like the only thing I ever wanted to do. I never had like a plan B. And so when COVID hit, I really got scared.
Hi.
Hi. What would you say is your guilty pleasure band?
I love Pitbull. I love Pitbull so much. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Pitbull. I love him. I know you want me. You know I want ya.
You. What's know mine? Because I don't feel guilty about it, but.
Taylor Swift, maybe.
I don't play that no more, though.
No, you don't.
Once she went crazy, I was like, nah, I'm done with you.
She crazy?
Oh,
I don't
know.
I don't keep up.
You
no
seen
more.
That?
I don't keep up. I don't think you have any guilty pleasures. We like to listen to a lot of Halloween music. Do you know that guy that sings Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer? Yeah. So his name is Dr. Elmo, and he has albums for every holiday. And he has a banging Halloween album. He's still alive, too. He lives in Oakland, and he's like 78. And he looks exactly how you'd expect him to look, like a Halloween prop butler, like one of those, you know? He looks like that. And I highly recommend checking out Dr. Elmo's, what is it? Halloween Sings the Booze is what it's called.
So you always hear, male fronted bands where there's crazy female fans doing weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So what's like a crazy male fan that's done weird stuff?
I don't even know where to start.
We want to hear the juicy. We want to hear the juicy stuff.
I mean, the girls are...
Well, girls can be crazy to girls, too. I know that, but...
You know, the boys show me things that come into their inboxes sometimes. And even I'm... Even I'm shocked. Shocked. It's crazy.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's in a band also, and he shows me some very, very, very questionable inbox photos.
But us guys, we are disgusting, and I can't imagine. I mean, I can't. I've seen some.
I think I scare guys, so I don't get stuff that's too bad. I do get. I'm just gonna be honest. I get asked out a lot by a lot of the bands that are on these walls. I do.
The Port Tornadoes.
Yeah. The Port Tornadoes, especially. Yeah.
They slide in my DMs a lot. I got
a lot. The From Ashes to New Guys are obsessed with them. They're like, who are these guys? We
really?
Love them.
Oh, shoot.
If you could tour with any band, past or present, who would it be?
I want to tour with Kiss so bad. And Alice Cooper.
Pantera.
Oh, we'd kill it with Pantera. Are you kidding?
They would
kill it.
It'd probably be like Hell Yeah, where they would hate us at first. Like, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we went on tour with Hell Yeah, and I remember setting up, and you would just hear certain F words coming at you, and it's like, whatever. You know, we're all
certain
in black,
F slurs.
Like, makeup. And I'm just in my head, like, oh, just you motherfuckers wait. Can I say that?
You're good. We're good.
Yeah. When we toured with Hell Yeah, the crowds were very different for us, but they always ended up loving us by the end.
Yeah. You would see them, like, you know, like making fun of you, and then by the midway of the first song, they're like,
well, that's what happened when one time we accidentally opened up for Rammstein.
Accidentally.
Yeah, you want to hear that story?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to make, it's kind of a long story, but I'm going to shorten it. So we were on tour in Europe, and we had a bus in France, and we woke up, we were supposed to be on our way to the festival, and we were supposed to play early, like noon or whatever. And I noticed that we weren't moving. So I woke up and I was like, hey, what's going on? And the bus driver goes, the brake sounded funny. So I just pulled over and stopped. And I was like, what? We play in an hour and we're 3 hours away. Like, I don't care if this bus falls apart. Get your butt up there and drive it till it falls apart. So we get there, and of course we miss our set time. But another band that was supposed to play in the like 8 p.m. slot couldn't make it. So they go, if you guys want to go up there now and just use their stuff and play your set, you're more than welcome to fill that time slot. So we played to 10,000 people.
The coolest part was, like, especially for me, like, Children of Bodom was playing, like, right next to us. And I was like, how cool.
Yeah. And I thought,
watching Alexi, like, shred. I'm like,
I thought for sure, like, this was going to be the show where beer bottles get thrown at our face, but they loved it.
It was like a sea of faces.
Yeah. And then we got to walk off stage and watch Rammstein.
You see, like, 30 mosh pits.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, 5 mosh pits going on at the same time.
But you know what's even cooler? Just before we saw Rammstein, we got to see a bit of Megadeth play.
Oh, I didn't. I was probably too busy pooping my pants because I was so nervous. I was like, this is a bad idea. I was like, pacing myself, this is a bad idea. We shouldn't do this. This is horrible. They're going to hate us.
Megadeth would be another one I would like to tour with.
Ooh, I'd like to tour with Iron Maiden.
Ooh, King Diamond.
I don't think they like us, but I would like to tour with King Diamond.
I don't care if they like us. I just want to tour with them. Okay. I just want to tell people that.
Yeah, okay.
From a current standpoint, if you bring it into that kind of world with, you know, I'm going to say like an Ice Nine Kills, obviously that would be.
We've toured with them a lot already, though.
Yeah. It's so bad for me because I don't really listen to much modern music.
He doesn't
music.
Know jack yeah, about
I couldn't tell you who's
current.
On the radio now. Like, I'm strictly like 50s to 80s, maybe some 90s, and that's pretty much.
But all the bands that I really am a fan of right now, we've toured with. Like, I love In This Moment, Hailstorm, Ice Nine Kills, Motionless in White. I mean, those are the bands I currently want to tour with, but we've done that.
I also just add, like, anybody we get to share a stage with that wants to just play some rock and roll, I'm in.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ask us something weird.
Okay. I mean, this is how we ended the last one, so we'll see how this goes here. What do you want to have done with your bodies when you die?
What an appropriate question, because we are in a funeral home. How morbid. I try not to think about death. Isn't that so weird for me? Because I'm sure everyone would assume I'm the opposite. I would like, have you ever heard of the California Institute of Abnormal Arts? Yes, they have a clown there. They actually have pulled DNA from this clown. It is a real person. It's a hermetified clown in a glass case, and everyone can go and see him. It's from like the 1920s, I think. I forget his name. They still hold a funeral for him every year at this place. I think I'd like that. Like a airtight sealed glass coffin maybe on display somewhere in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something.
Trying to think of the first most appropriate thing that come to mind. Maybe be switched with a basket of brisket and be made into delicious barbecue.
Yum.
The making meat, people happy.
The Mickey Misery Meat Cafe.
I mean, you have a song called Bloody Marys already, so now you can, you know, you can be Brisket Funeral. That's the next song for you.
I got a weird question for you. If you had to give up one body part, what would it be?
My left pinky.
The left one.
Yeah, my butthole. Does that count as a body part? Yeah. I need that, don't I? I need it. You're right. Shoot. It's annoying. She's like, I don't know what to say after that.
After the death question, I guess I stumped them all. All right.
The other two bands got asked this. So I'll ask it to you guys. What's your most embarrassing moment on tour or on stage?
What? Oh, gosh.
All right. So I remember one. I don't know if most are embarrassing, but it was pretty wild. I remember they had, like, back in the day, we used to spit blood. And we used to have, like, this perfect kind of, like, Ben Nye, like, mouth blood. So when you put it in your mouth, it tastes like mint, not, like, awful chemicals.
Oh,
like
fresh
you get.
Blood, yeah.
But it was towards the end of the tour, and I ran out because I always use so much. And so someone got us, like, this regular Target brand that you just put on your clothes.
Highly toxic.
So I filled up a big cup. But, you know, like, you're on stage, you're dehydrated. And I, you know, took a big mouthful, and I accidentally swallowed it. And then for that chorus, I just was there in front of my amp, just throwing it all up. And then just flipped around and then just back into character.
Throwing up blood. Love it. Love it.
That's pretty metal.
Oh, yeah. And there's also Wichita.
We don't need to talk about Wichita.
Just Wichita was just a legendary moment.
Wichita, Nikki almost got fired from the band.
Yeah. But Wichita was the first time I got to see our band play.
Make that make sense. So he was so drunk. We don't drink it. Like, this is a while ago. We don't drink like this anymore. But he was so drunk that I thought, because I can hear all the instruments in my monitors in my ear, I thought, surely Nikki's broken his hand because he's playing so bad. I thought, surely something's wrong. I look over, he's just hammered. So I looked at our TM, who's now set it off TM on this tour, and I was like, get him out of here. Put him on the bus, put him to bed. So he does. Takes him off stage, mid-show, puts him on the bus. I'm like, thank God. One song into it, I'm looking at Nikki's in the crowd cheering like this for our band. I was like, oh my God, how do you get out? How do you find his way in?
So, like, the way I remember the story is we went out to go get sushi before, you know, get a little lunch. And
that day,
yeah. Yeah, we had, you know, had a beer, had some sake. And then, we come back, like, all right, it's time to get ready to play. Then the opening band goes, hey, do you want a shot real quick? I was like, yeah. But for some reason, I used to grab the cap of whatever bottle, crunch it, and throw it, like, oh, now we got to finish it. I remember, like, taking a swig of Evan Williams. And then I woke up in the bus. Oof. And I just woke up like this. And then Ash is sitting right next to me. She's like, oh, look who's back.
Yeah, that's how thinking, you know you're in trouble.
I messed up.
Yeah, that's okay. We love you still.
I do all right.
We live and we learn at times.
Yeah.
For you, tattoos, is there one on you that is like the most special that when you look in the mirror and go, boy, that's the one I remember from this time, this moment. It's a thing for me.
I really love the one on my neck and this one. I like those. You can't ever really see it, but those are my favorite ones.
I kind of want to say the neck too, but I just got my feet done. And they just like these monsters. And I don't know. I just think it's just so badass now.
It's hard to choose. We have so many.
Yeah.
I have a horror sleeve. I would show you, but I can't take off my pants. But we've got Pennywise, Patrick Bateman, Ghostface, Jack Torrance, Twisty the Clown. And then there's someone else I'm forgetting.
Thank you guys so
much
for coming
out.
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you guys for being here.
We're so excited for the show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, out of everything we talked about and everything else, I mean, you guys do a great job with your music. Looking forward to more of it. I mean, I think the last one, was it Vampire?
It was Vampire.
Okay, yeah. I'm lying.
I was so shocked that it got so much love from radio because that riff is really kind of ugly. It's very heavy.
I loved it. That's we do it a little heavier around here.
Thank you.
But yeah, I loved that one, and it's one of those that played it when it was the thing to play. But every October, I'm like, oh yeah, I know what I'm gonna.
Yes,
play
thank
again
you. It is very Halloweeny.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're all
I
about
put the weenie.
Weenie
in Halloweeny.
We certainly put the weenie in there. Yeah. All right.
That's and a that great note, way to end
we're
this.
We're done. New Year's Day.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.